This is a special edition of Faith in Action entitled Sons of Melchizedek, where we welcome priests from the Archdiocese of Indianapolis and the Diocese of Lafayette in Indiana to tell us their vocation stories. We are so grateful to and thankful for our priests as they serve us and bring us the sacraments daily. Before we introduce today's special guest priest, we'd like to pray for you, Father. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Gracious and loving God, we thank you for the gift of our priests. Through them, we experience your presence in the sacraments. Help our priests to be strong in their vocation. Set their souls on fire with love for your people. Grant them the wisdom, understanding, and strength they need to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. We ask this through Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns as our eternal priest. Amen.
Hello, this is Gordon Smith, and you are listening to the Sons of Melchizedek show. This is a show about priestly vocation, and today our guest is Monsignor William Stump of the Archdiocese of Indianapolis. He is the Vicar General of the diocese. Welcome, Monsignor. How are you today?
I'm fine, thank you.
Well, this is a show, as I said, about priestly vocation, so I want to dig down into your deep past and find out where you're from. What was your childhood parish?
My childhood parish was really two. Grew up initially in St. Mark's Parish, but then they built St. Barnabas in 1965, so began attending St. Barnabas Parish as a third grader in 1965, and that parish remained my home parish all the way through the time I was ordained in June 1st of 1985.
So for our listeners, these are both Southside parishes, and that probably back in the day was at the end of where civilization started and stopped.
It was south of there. You were getting into Johnson County, and it was becoming much more rural.
But now, of course, it's very developed, and the parishes go on and on and on from there.
Right.
And the people, of course. So tell us about what your plan was when you were a child. Were you planning to become a priest?
When I was a little kid, I was very attracted to the priesthood. I think a lot of children were when they were young. And priests were held and religious were held in very, very high esteem in the 60s, and particularly the early 60s. So my mother used to drive the Franciscan sisters when they couldn't drive out to Marian College in the summer so they could go to summer school. And I just really felt at a very young age that I wanted to be a priest. So that was a strong feeling that I had early on.
It wasn't to get away from your brothers then?
It was not to get away from my brothers, no.
So you had two older brothers.
Two older brothers.
Both with names that start with L, mm-hmm. Louie and Larry. The thing that strikes me is, based on your age and the time of the 60s that we're talking about, do you remember the pre-Vatican II Mass?
I do. My first communion and my confirmation were both in the what we would call today the extraordinary form of the Mass, so in Latin, yeah.
And so that lasted a year or two more, and mm-hmm. then things started changing, right?
Things started changing. I don't know if it started immediately when I was in third grade, but early on, fourth, fifth grade, we started, you know, with the changes in the Mass becoming English and Father facing the people and no longer having the servers kneel at the base of the altar, and I was a server. So
it didn't seem to impact your vocational call. At what age did you really start getting serious about becoming a priest?
I got serious about it near the latter part of high school.
Did you go to Roncalli then?
I did not. I was the first graduating class out of Perry Meridian in 1975.
I see.
And my father was not Catholic, and a lot of the Stump family had gone to Southport. That's where I went initially to high school, and then ended up being the first graduating class out of Perry Meridian. And in the latter part of high school, began to think seriously that I wanted to pursue vocation to the priesthood, began to talk a little bit to the vocation director in the Archdiocese. And by the time graduation rolled around, I had cold feet and just thought, I don't think I want to do this. And I got kind of scared. I don't know why, but I did. And I backed off. And
that's probably not unusual.
Yeah. So anyway, that's kind of a bad time to be trying to discover where you're going to go to to college right at the end of your senior year of high school. So I ended up at the University of Indianapolis. And then I had a lot of buddies and friends that were up at Ball State, and I followed them my sophomore year. And initially I was thinking I wanted to be a teacher, so Ball State seemed like a good fit for me.
Let's see, I can hear in the background a little bit of Led Zeppelin, right? That's about the time frame. So it was a changing time in the country. You were not quite old enough to have to dodge the draft.
Nope.
But it was getting fresh in your mind, though.
It was getting close. Yeah.
Yes, it was.
Yep, it certainly was.
So from Ball State, and that's up in the Lafayette Diocese.
Mm-hmm. It's up in Muncie.
So you probably attended...
I went to St. Francis Newman Center.
Okay.
At Ball State, and became active during my time there. Became very active at the latter part of college, my senior year. Was on the parish council of the student parish council of the parish. Had a great affection and friendship with Father Jim Bates, who was the pastor at that point. Also another priest who was there at the time by the name of Father Steve Wise, who was a priest of Lafayette. And I found during that time that a lot of the feelings that I had about wanting to go to seminary reemerged, and was beginning to start to talk about that with my parents. And they offered some advice that I followed, and that is, they said they were certainly supportive of my pursuing seminary, but they really believed that it would be wise for me to at least have a year of work, thinking that I had been in school all of my life and just needed to have an opportunity in the real world, so to speak. And I was lucky enough to get a job at General Motors at Detroit Diesel Allison out on the west side of Indianapolis. They hire a number of young college-age students, and they put you through a year training program. So I was a college graduate in training for General Motors, and then during that time was in contact with the vocations office and pursuing discernment about wanting to go to the seminary, and after the year was up, really knew that that's what I wanted to try.
So Detroit Diesel Allison kind of cured you of your desire to be in the real world, as you called it a minute ago, where you have to earn your living, and you wanted to go to seminary.
Well, I wouldn't know if I'd say cured, but it
I'm pulling your
I mind. Know you are. It broadened my horizons greatly, and I think it was really great advice on the part of my parents to just say you just need to experience something else besides just being in school, like leaving right from college and going right into a school.
Sure, that makes sense. Makes total sense. And so you weren't pushed into this.
Nope.
You said earlier that your mom would shuttle people around to Catholic college at Marian College. And your dad, I think, was not Catholic at the time. Did he ever become Catholic?
My dad never converted. We had kind of thought maybe he might, but he was always very supportive of my vocation, and which was very touching. I remember the night of my ordination day, I had driven back out to my parents' home, and my father said, "I have one question that's been on my mind all day. I just want to know this." And I said, "Okay." And he said, "I want to know if you're happy." And I said, "Absolutely." I said, "This is what I want to do." And he said, "That's all I need to know."
Perfect. That's a great encouragement. No one pushed you, but no one discouraged you either. Do you have any words of advice for parents that might have a son or even a daughter that is considering a religious vocation, about the attitude or stance they should take with their child?
I think just to be very, very open and allow your children to explore whatever the Holy Spirit is doing in their life, and just be open to that experience and to walk with them. And you don't have to move them in either direction, either away or towards it. You let the Holy Spirit kind of guide. And like with my parents, they would have supported me in whichever decision I made. I felt that support. I always felt grounded by them.
Sure, and your two older brothers did not take that.
No.
They took a different vocation, a vocation of marriage and children. And
mm-hmm.
So it's all important, and it's all in God's plan, right?
Right.
So let's change gears a little bit here and talk about your time at seminary. You went to Mount St. Mary's of the West. Is that what you called it?
Mm-hmm. I did a first year, though, because I didn't have any philosophy or theology, and even in the 80s, that was required. So if you didn't come from a college seminary to enter theology, you had to do a year of what's called pre-theology. Okay. And so all of the Indianapolis students attended St. Meinrad. So I attended St. Meinrad for that year of pre-theology. And then after that year was over, at the time that I was a seminarian, Archbishop O'Meara was of the mindset that we should be in a lot of different seminaries. So we had people at Mundelein, we had people at St. Meinrad, we had people at Catholic U, we had people at Mount St. Mary's of the West. So there were a lot of options for seminary. And I knew some of our priests or seminarians at that time that were at the Mount, and I thought that was probably a better fit for me. I love St. Meinrad. I've been on their board of trustees, but it was a little closer back and forth to Indianapolis. My dad had a stroke, and I just thought maybe I needed to be at a place where I could get home more quickly if anybody needed extra hands or extra help.
Well, good. But you weren't a commuter student.
No, not by a long shot.
Stayed there.
I stayed there.
On campus. So how many years did you spend down at St. Mary's?
4 years, which is a standard course. It isn't now, but back in those days it was.
So. And after that, did you become ordained after that, or did you take another stop?
Nope. I finished up my studies in the spring of 1985, and along with Monsignor Voles and Father Mike Fritsch, we were ordained together at St. John's, because the cathedral was under renovation at that time.
Oh, really? Yep. That's an interesting story. And I didn't know that had ever happened that way.
Yeah, and it was a beautiful place to be ordained in. And
Is that technically a proto-cathedral?
I don't know if it holds that title, but it was the first cathedral for Indianapolis.
While they were waiting for 14th and Meridian to
you
get
got
built.
It. Yeah, because as you know, there's actually a cathedra in that church. A bishop's chair in St. John's.
Don't try to confuse me with tough language like that, Monsignor.
Okay, I won't.
Okay, we're interviewing Monsignor Bill Stump today, and this is Sons of Melchizedek. I want to thank you for your priestly vocation, and here's a little spoiler alert. I've known you for many years. I'm thinking at least 35 years, because you baptized two of our children, of our eight, number three and number four, when you were at your first assignment, which was St. Luke's in Indianapolis, which is the parish that my wife and I were married at. So as your first big shot, that was a pretty big shoes to fill. You were following a pastor that had been a founding pastor of that parish, and you were alongside as associate priest and pastor to a former Vicar General yourself, Monsignor Tuohy, right?
Well, actually, he was Vicar General, yeah.
At the time.
At the time, he was.
So those were tough shoes to fill, but you apparently learned quite a bit, because you are now Vicar General yourself. So tell me what you learned and what the thing to do at St. Luke's that caused you then to get assigned to St. Agnes in Brown County right after that.
Well, when I was at St. Luke's with Monsignor Tuohy,
and we'll return in 1 second with the answer to that question, Monsignor.
You're listening to Catholic Radio Indy, converting the culture to Christ through radio, featuring 100% Catholic programming 24/7. Do your friends a favor. Tell them about Catholic Radio Indy.
Alexa, what's the weather forecast for today?
Alexa, what time is the Colts game today?
Alexa, remind me to pick up the dry cleaning tomorrow.
Has Alexa become a part of your daily routine? Then make sure that routine includes Alexa, play Catholic Radio Indy.
Catholic Radio Indy.
Quick, easy access to Catholic programming 24/7. Just say, Alexa, play Catholic Radio Indy.
Catholic Radio Indy.
I'm interviewing Monsignor Bill Stump, and he's going to explain to us how he went from St. Luke, which is on the north side of Indianapolis in a fairly well-to-do parish, and his very next assignment was at St. Agnes in Brown County. So, Monsignor, take it from there, please.
Okay. Well, I was with Father Tuohy from 1985 to 1990, who was a wonderful pastor, a wonderful mentor. He's actually a great father figure for me. And St. Luke's was probably one of my most favorite assignments. Probably most priests found their first assignment to be one of their special assignments. I found that people just, it was a wonderful parish, and I still have friends there. So it's been a very special place in my life. But I had some interest while I was at St. Luke's with Father Tui about wanting to pursue a degree in psychology. He knew that the Archbishop, then Archbishop O'Meara, wanted somebody to go back to school. And so he connected the two of us, and Archbishop said, yes, I really do want, I want to have a priest who's trained in psychology. So ended up going to Loyola University in Maryland. And
in Baltimore, right?
In Baltimore. And did a degree. It's called pastoral counseling. It's sort of the marriage between spirituality and psychology. And so then while I was there, I worked at a hospital called St. Luke Institute, which is a psychiatric, was a psychiatric facility for women religious and priests and men religious, actually from around the world. And it was a very unusual experience, but a very profound experience in my life, working with priests and religious who had some struggles in their lives.
Was that your goal in that advanced degree, to counsel to religious?
I was very much, and that's also why Archbishop O'Meara wanted somebody to go back to school in that area. I think he also just wanted someone that he could turn to and look to as an in-house specialist or whatever that could help answer some of his questions. And he also wanted somebody that would be able to bring the spirituality component to the psychology component. And so anyway, I did that until the summer of 97. And then at that point, Archbishop Daniel Beekline was now our archbishop, because O'Meara had passed away.
And had you known him when you, during that year that you were down at St. Leonard?
Just briefly, didn't know him well, but he asked me to come back home, and I came back home and I took on the role of vicar for clergy, or at that time it used to be often be called priest personnel director, and I followed in the footsteps of Father Paul Cutter, who was then the priest personnel director, and Father Paul had taken care of St. Agnes in Nashville, and said, gosh, I would think it'd be great if you would take both of these jobs. So I followed it in his footsteps, not only in the office downtown, but then I took over the parish at St. Agnes in Nashville. So that's how it became my next assignment.
But tell me about your time in Brown County. I understand that you were also a horseman.
When I was in Brown County, I had always had an interest in riding horses, and had never ever pursued that interest, but got to know a family in the parish who raised Morgan horses, and they encouraged me to do some riding, and I ended up with a Morgan mare and a Morgan gelding, and took riding lessons for a while over in Bloomington at a stable. And then when we bought the land to build the new St. Agnes Church.
That was part of your project.
That was part of my project. I was there with Sister Mildred when we built the new church. But the big thing was getting land, which we finally secured. And oddly enough, we bought a horse farm. So we had a riding arena and a four-stall horse barn on the property. And so eventually I brought the two horses to the parish site, because we moved out there even before we built the actual church out there. And at that time, I asked Archbishop Daniel if I could commute to Indianapolis from Brown County. And he said, if you don't mind commuting, that doesn't bother me. So I commuted.
By horse?
Yes. Oh, definitely. By horse, yes. But I, it was great. I just had the horses, and it was a wonderful time.
I was just horsing around with you.
I know you were. Just horsing.
So, yep. Yeah, I'm just horsing. So that's interesting about St. Agnes. That was on 135, the original church, and that's mm-hmm. been sold to another denomination.
What's even more interesting, if I don't know if it would be to your listeners, when we were in the process of trying to build that new church, we needed to sell the old church. There was a new Presbyterian church being formed in Brown County in Nashville, and they were using a rental piece of property, and so we ended up sharing the church on 135 for a year while the new church was being built, which was a really beautiful experience to share that with them. And then when we actually moved out to the new parish, then they fully took over the old site on 135.
So you didn't have any arguments about predestination or
anything? No, none at all. It was a very, probably wouldn't have been a good experience if it had gone on for years, but for a year it was very touching. We gave some gifts to one another. A crucifix that was outside the chapel at the old St. Agnes that we wanted, that was in the wall, and when we went to take it out, it crumbled. And they took the pieces and they had it recast for us, and they brought it to us as a gift when we dedicated the church.
That's beautiful, and it is the same Jesus.
Yep.
Worshipped in a different way, but we are all on the same team in that way.
Yep.
Do you have any hobbies, Monsignor?
I've had hobbies that I have not pursued for a while, but certainly one was the horseback riding, and then when I was at St. Agnes in Brown County, I took up an interest in doing a little bit of organic gardening, and that was fun for a while. Haven't really been in a place where I could really probably do that. And then I'd mentioned that I went to Ball State to be a teacher, and I had went to Ball State to be an art teacher originally, although I got a degree in business. So I've always had an interest in art, and I'm a hobbyist in terms of watercolor painting. I have not had a lot of opportunities lately to do that, but that's always been an interest. I've always enjoyed traveling, have enjoyed cooking, and certainly enjoy any kind of time to be able to spend with friends, priest friends or lay friends and family.
Sure. We have a big event coming up in Indianapolis in 2024.
We do.
It's the Eucharistic Revival, and as Vicar General, you'll probably have some responsibilities with that, want them or not, or if you're asked, I'm not sure what the status of that is right now, but it'll mean a lot of people coming from all over the country to our fair city. So explain a little bit about the importance of the Eucharist to our listening audience, please.
Well, as we know, it's the source and summit of our faith, and as you are probably aware and your listeners are aware, one of the things we've discovered over the last years is that, you know, our Catholics don't really have a full understanding of the gift of the Eucharist and real presence and what that means, and that's a real shame, and this is a real opportunity to help reinvigorate people's faith in the Eucharist and to help them to realize how critical it is and how it is the center of our faith. And not only that, but what an extraordinary gift and blessing the Eucharist is to the church. I mean, it's where we're around the table, where we're around the altar. It's where we're the closest to Jesus.
Well, it's a miracle, and you perform that miracle, or you cause or assist in the
participate
in the forming of that miracle every single day.
Right.
So we want to thank you for that, and thank you for your vocation, your priestly vocation. It's so important that we get more priests involved and more young men and ladies, but especially young men that might consider the priesthood as a vocation. We don't want to press them unnecessarily, but at the same time, we sure want them to be open to the priesthood, right?
Absolutely. You know, and young people and parents both need to know priesthood's a wonderful vocation and a very fulfilling vocation. I don't have any regrets about, you know, being a priest at all. Is any vocation easy? No, but all vocations bring blessings and gifts to you, and certainly priesthood has been an extraordinary gift to me and blessing.
Well, you only work on Sunday after all, right?
That's right, yeah. I mean, where can you get a full salary and just, you know, take a few masses on the weekend? I mean, yeah, piece of cake.
I'm teasing Monsignor, of course, because I'm sure he's so busy. In fact, I'm looking at the list of his assignments that I took off the Archdiocesan website, and there's more churches on here, I think, than there are in the Archdiocese. There's so many: St. Agnes, St. Peter, St. Charles Borromeo, St. Mary of the Rock, Holy Trinity in Edinburgh. The list goes on and on. Do you get mileage?
We do get mileage, yes.
That's good.
That's always a good thing.
There's a lot of mileage. I go from let's see, Fortville, Plainfield, that's to the west, and then all the way as far as Franklin County to the east. That's almost to Ohio, right?
Right, yep.
So, well, thank you for all that mileage you put on and all the people that you have influenced and been able to have an impact on during your vocation, during your priesthood years.
But, you know, also, it's always, anytime you share yourself and you share Christ with somebody, you're always blessed in abundance. So you realize that you always receive more than you ever give.
That's a great attitude. That's a great take on things. So, and your personality just is such that I can see you allowing people to blossom around you, and you don't try to step in and take the limelight. So that's a really cool attribute of your own personality. What is your favorite Bible story or quote from the Bible?
My favorite Bible quote is from Psalm 46, and that is, "Be still and know that I am God." And that has always been a very important quote for me, because we all have moments and times in our lives where we get anxious or worried or afraid, and that always grounds me to know that I just need to be still, rest in God. I'm not in charge, and He is. And so that's always been the verse that I go back to.
Well, me too. I think not particularly that verse, but that is my biggest struggle in life is I like to make my plans, mm-hmm. and I think they're good plans, but they're not always God plans. So we want to make sure that we put God in the proper frame. Right?
That's right. And when we do, then our anxiety is lessened and we can live more in the moment and in the present.
Well, I want to thank you, Monsignor, for your time today. I thank you for your priestly vocation. And just if you would just give us a short blessing right now to our audience, listening audience, north and south of 96th, we would really appreciate it.
Certainly. So, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. The Lord be with you, and may Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
You've been listening to a special edition of Faith in Action entitled Sons of Melchizedek. Join us again next time when we'll feature another priest from the area. If you are interested in having your priest appear on this show, please contact us at Catholic Radio Indy.
You can hear the Holy Mass every day at 8 a.m. right here on Catholic Radio Indy.